I do so appreciate the music that we have today. Thank you so much. It's not over. As we prepare to enter into a time of prayer, please take note that we have two prayer poles up here. After the service, please take time to tie a knot and sign the card and say a prayer for each one of them. Thinking of gifts, I do so appreciate something that Pastor Bob gifted. When we were doing the superhero messages, he sent me a little, it's called a GIF, along with a text. We were communicating about something, and it was Underdog flying through the air. And I thought, this is the greatest thing I have ever seen. So I'm immediately going to do this. I'm going to send it out to my wife, the kids. Also, we start exchanging these notes, and my oldest daughter says, "Dad, here's how to send gifts." Yeah. So, as if I couldn't. So then one day something came up, my wife said, it was National Daughter's Day. And I thought, uh-oh, I didn't even know that. How am I going to recover from this? So I thought, well, I'll send a text, and I'll send one of these little gift things along with it. And so, who do they like? What can I find? So I found Buddy the Elf. Buddy the Elf. I love you, I love you, I love you! And I sent that to him. And the older one comes back and says, "Yes, Dad, just like that." And the older one says, "Yes, just like that." Okay. So, you know, when I read the scripture for today, overflowing love was one of the things that really struck out to me. You know, that's, you know, love for Christ, love for God, overflowing love for our neighbor. So now, I know you all just want to do this. You want to look at your neighbors and you want to do it with me, right? Well, I showed you how it's done, right? Okay, on the count of three, we're all going to do that. Look at your neighbors and look up here at the cross. All right, one, two, three.
I love you.
You guys are awesome. Thank you. That is what we want as we go into prayer. Would you please join me in prayer? Merciful and loving God in heaven, the universe radiates your glory and greatness. Thank you for beginning the work of salvation in each of your children here today. Today we remember those who believed in Jesus and were dedicated to you. Many saints have gone before us, but only some of them are known to us. Some saints, like Paul, were martyred for the faith and preaching of the good news. Through the amazing persistence of early Christians, we know of your Son, Jesus, today. While under house arrest, Paul wrote to encourage, thank, and mourn believers in Philippi. Thank you for giving us a place to glorify you through worship and service together. We are blessed to have facilities for studying and discussing your word together. We are grateful that our facilities include places for preparing and sharing food. We appreciate that our facilities include buildings that aid in serving the community together. Paul wrote to the Philippians to thank them for their support and belief in the gospel. Similarly, we thank you for blessing our lives so we can serve others according to our gifts. Lord, you have led us to this place of fellowship and support for one another. Let our love for each other overflow and our service together bear good fruit. Help us discern what really matters and properly use what we've been given. Grant us the courage and perseverance Paul exhibited in continuing to advance. humbly offer you our silent prayers of individual gratitude and concern. Loving God, you graciously heard our prayers, and because you're always with us, you hear us. Jesus offered this prayer we now say together. Our Father,
Lord, our Father, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
And now, hear the word of God in the book of Philippians. I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. Being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. It is right for me to feel this way about all of you. Sins have you in my heart, and whether I am in chains or defending and confirming the gospel, all of you share in God's grace with me. God can testify how I long for all of you with the affection of Christ Jesus. And this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ, to the glory and praise of God. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Lord, the words of my heart and meditation of our hearts acceptable in your sight. For you are a rock and our redeemer. Amen. So my mom has a box of letters. It's a little smaller than a shoebox, these little letters. They're letters that my father wrote to her while he was working as an oiler and a lake freighter before they got married. Maybe in the box are some letters that she wrote as well. I asked her not too long ago if I could look at them, and she said no. She also has in her jewelry box my dad's watch, and she has a pair of his cufflinks. And at Christmas time, she hangs from the back door doorknob, this leather strap with these kind of rusted brass bells on it. And it is a leather strap of bells that my father used when he was playing Santa Claus. And he died in 1985. And so these are things that I see kind of regularly in the house. In my house, I have a bookcase he made. Most people would throw it away. It's kind of paint spattered and old and chipped and really not that good craftsmanship, maybe made more out of necessity than for its beauty. So I have that, and I also have his duffel bag from the Army, 51, 52, something like that. So this heavy canvas duffel bag that you wouldn't drag through an airport now. Oh no, you need wheels. So both of them aren't really that practical, but they're a legacy, and all of them tell a story. Perhaps in your life, you have legacies as well. Things that have been handmade, sometimes beautifully and sometimes not so beautiful, but you keep them anyway. How many people hang their children's handmade ornaments on the tree, even though they are long since childhood? Oh, yeah. And how many people have maybe a set of dishes or a set of linens from someone who has passed? save them for good times. Just use them. Use them right now. And remember those people. We do tend to have legacies that are left. Now, the kind of the general definition of legacy, if you look at kind of primary definitions, it's money or property that's left to us, often in a will. So we may have received legacies of things or property or money, or perhaps it's our plan to offer those legacies to our loved ones. If before you start, you know, thinking that they'll want your stuff, you might want to check. I've learned that. But the legacy is kind of that receiving and giving. But I would suggest that legacy is more than just the stuff that we can hold in our hands or look at kind of line items on our accounts. Legacy can be in the way we look or the way we walk. How many of us have stared at a baby, trying to figure out whose chin that baby has and who eyes, and we compare that baby's picture to other pictures in the family, right? Oh, that's Aunt so-and-so, that's Grandma, that's Uncle. We can see those resemblances. And how many have just a little bit of a relative in their own face, their own stance, their own walk? I tell you, if I put on red lipstick, I'm looking at my mother and I'm looking at my grandmother. And that's me. Like the dad, I'm kind of playing with my grandmother. But I'm looking at that heritage. Or perhaps someone who's told you you have the voice of someone who came before you, or the laughter. Or you maybe say, yeah, thanks, my legacy is my heart. My legacy is my rheumatism or my arthritis. We have those kinds of legacies too that come. So those are the type of legacies we might look at. But there's also a legacy of character, a legacy of deeds and teachings and trainings that come our way. Maybe there's someone here who mows the lawn a certain way because it's the way Dad taught you to do it. There might be someone here who makes a meatloaf. How many people make their meatloaf like the way Mom or Dad made the meatloaf? Yes. There is no other way. It's the way you make it. We have those kinds of practices and legacies as well. Today, we celebrate the legacy of the faith. Because for every single one of us, someone has informed us about the faith. Now, the legacy may be from someone who has gone before us, a grandparent or a parent that we remember fondly. Faith may have come our way, informed by those who are living, a child who insisted on going to church and learning more about God. Faith may have come to us as legacy by friends and family, who by their examples and their witness and their invitation have brought us to this place. Today we remember those loved ones, especially those who have gone on to their eternal home in glory through Jesus Christ. Now through November, we're going to continue to talk about legacy. We're going to talk about the legacy that friends and family have left for us, especially next week as we honor those in military service. And we will also talk about our legacy and ask that question, what will we leave for our children and grandchildren, our nieces and nephews, and those who follow in the generation beyond us? I think that the Apostle Paul had legacy in mind when he wrote to the Philippine church. The Philippine church was up in Macedonia, and although Paul wrote that he would go back to Philippi, he was never able to do so. And so he writes a letter to them that is filled with joy. Literally, verse 1-3 says, I give thanks for you at your every remembrance. Whenever he remembered the church, he would give thanks. He opened the letter with sincerity. It was deeply personal. He offered gratitude and confidence, affection, and a longing to see the people again. And he longed to see the saints. Now, Paul did not refer to people as saints because they had like halos around their heads, or churches would be named after them, or they lived a life of a martyr. The saints for the Apostle Paul were those who were faithful, imperfect, regular people. And so he wrote to the saints, and they wrote back to him knowing that he was a saint. Today, we remember saints, regular, imperfect people in our lives who have made a difference, have brought us to the faith, or by their example and by their faithfulness, we know more about what it means to live in Jesus Christ. Paul wrote in his letter, "For God is my witness, how I long for all of you with the compassion of Jesus Christ." You got to remember, compassion is it means with suffering. It means I will go with you wherever you go. I long for you in the good and in the bad. Isn't it true that we remember those who have gone before us, but sometimes we long for them that way? I'm remembering friends who died this year, especially a couple of clergy colleagues who died. And sometimes I just wish I could call them, and I long for them with a kind of pain and suffering that goes with loss. Perhaps you have someone in your life that you wish you could just say a few more words to. Or maybe say, "Look where my life is now, and I am so grateful to you." Or to give thanks for their faithfulness and what they gave. Paul had that longing and that deep, deep need for the people who were faithful, and they longed for him as well. There's a song that we started the service with today, "For All the Saints," one of my favorites, just like this is like one of my favorite times of worship. It was written by Reverend William Howe, an Anglican priest, in 1864. He wrote this hymn to be part of a celebration, an ordination celebration for clergy. But in those times, they used language we don't use very much today, but we still have this in our hearts, that the church, the universal church of all Christ's people, are divided into two parts. The first part is what we would call the church militant. It means alive and working for the faith. This line from the hymn shows that kind of church militant. "Thou wast their rock, their fortress, and their might, Lord, their captain in the well-fought fight." This understanding that we work as the living faithful to bring Christ to other people. The other part of the church is called the church triumphant. And the church triumphant are those who sit today at the great heavenly banquet with Jesus Christ, and they know him face to face. The church triumphant are those who sing with joy because they have met Jesus Christ and they are in their heavenly home. The legacy of the saints for us is one where we learn to be the church militant, to be those who by our word and deed serve Christ. But we also celebrate and long for and hope for the church triumphant, where we will meet those whom we love. Paul offered this prayer. In that opening to his letter, he said, "This is my prayer, that your love may overflow more and more with knowledge and full insight." It's the love of Christ that he desired for those who were living in the church militant, the one before that heavenly home. He hoped that their love might overflow with more knowledge of Christ and more wisdom of Christ, that it might change their lives and change the lives of others. It was his blessed prayer for them, and it is a blessed prayer for us as well. It leaves us with this question: what will be our legacy, and what will we carry forward? I've been part of this church for nearly 11 and a half years, And in that time, I have journeyed with many of you to the edge of the grave. I have been with you in homes, in the midst of death, and at bedsides, in hospitals and hospices. I have been with you in funeral homes and in this sanctuary, and some of you will remember services here. And I can say that in my 11 and a half years, I have met saints. Oh, I've met saints. I've met people that, I want to start calling out names, but I won't do it right now because I'll forget someone, but I've met people strong of will, and I have met people humble of spirit, and I have met people who have gone to death calmly, and those not so calmly, but all along the way I have met those who had an absolute trust in Jesus Christ and in salvation. And many of you have been connected to them. And they are your saints today, offering you hope, and for the rest of us as well. Today is a day of thanksgiving. It's a day of thanksgiving for both the living, who are among us, who lead us in the faith, and it is a day of thanksgiving for the dead, for those who have gone before us, have meant so much and have shaped our lives. They have left us a legacy of character, a legacy of strength, a legacy of faith. And we can recommit ourselves to be part of the church militant as we await our time in the church triumphant. Another line from For All the Saints I just love. Oh, blessed communion, it's community together. Fellowship divine. We feebly struggle. They in glory shine. Yet all are one in thee, for all are one. My challenge today is take time to tell stories of the saints. Remember the saints in your life, both living and those who have gone before, who have been a part of shaping your character. Tell their stories and name their legacy in your life and celebrate. Let's pray. Lord, for all the saints, living and dead, we are so thankful. They have made us who we are. They have offered us a future of hope by your grace, and we give you all thanks.